Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated.
He is for me, Jesus.
Grace and peace be to you from God, our loving parent, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do you ever have those dreams when you're signed up for a class, but you've forgotten to go all semester and the final exam is today? And of course, for me, it's always a math class. I hate that sinking feeling when I realize that they're handing out the test and I'm unprepared. The panic sets in. Well, this parable from Jesus reminds me of those kinds of dreams. This very night, your life is being demanded of you. Uh-oh, the big final exam. Have I studied? Do I even remember what I signed up for in the first place? This kind of dream is not a feel-good dream for me. Have you ever had a dream like that where you're unprepared for something and in your dream you're rushing around? Yeah, I see some. Yes. Anyone else? Am I in good company? Yes. Yes. And don't you love the feeling when you wake up from those kinds of dreams? Oh, thank you, God, it wasn't real and everything is back the way it was. I'm in control of my life again. And yet, Jesus promises us that someday, one day, it will be real. Someday, our life will be demanded of us. And I find it interesting when I hear those words of Jesus' parable that we often tend to go to that place of fear and anxiety. Uh-oh. What if I've done my life wrong? What if I've been looking at the wrong things, valuing the wrong things? Have I been sort of wandering off that narrow path and getting into the media enticements of the bigger car, the new jet ski, the big house, more and more stuff? And of course, the tone of this parable that Jesus gives his disciples is exactly correct, exactly right. Be on your guard. Keep a watch on your heart. After all, don't we live in a culture that regularly tells us that we don't have enough? TV commercials, billboards, the internet all tell me that I'm insufficient, incomplete, not good enough the way God made me. They also promise that if I'll buy their product, be it the newest cell phone or a weight loss program or the newest ShamWow, that I'll be complete and others will accept me as someone worthwhile. The enticements of materialism in our society are all around us, and it doesn't seem to matter how much we have or buy, we just feel like we don't have enough to be okay. In this parable, Jesus doesn't warn against money, wealth, or abundance. He warns against greed, about that insatiable feeling of never quite having enough. The farmer isn't bad because he's planted good seeds and had a great crop, or that he's a rich man because his crops sold well, or that he's looking ahead and saving for his future and retirement. His problem is that his good fortune and his planning has kind of curved his vision so that everything starts and ends with him. Listen to this conversation again that he has with himself. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have laid up ample goods for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Do you see? It's a totally egocentric conversation he's having with himself. That's why he's a fool. He's fallen into thinking that life, and especially the good life, consists of possessions. That's exactly what Jesus warns us against. The rich man hasn't figured out that the wealth he claims isn't really his. He only has temporary custody of it. To put it in today's context, we might ponder how much Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg will be worth when they die. The answer is same as you and me. Let me repeat this. Money is not the problem. Jesus is saying that money isn't evil in itself, but it's how we handle it and think about it that makes it so. Money can do so many good things for us, provide for your family, help you start a business, support a Compassion International child, and so on. Can our wealth and our possessions help us to live a relatively comfortable life? Of course they can. Can they make us confident that we are worthy of God's love and guarantee us right relationships with God and each other? Absolutely not. Money and possessions cannot produce that abundant life that Jesus talks about. So it really comes down to our priorities, doesn't it? It's about who or what is truly God in our lives. What do we worship? It's about how we invest our lives in the gifts that God has given us. And it's about how our lives are fundamentally aligned towards ourselves and our passing desires, or toward God and our neighbor and God's mission to bless and redeem this earth. A seasoned pastor once told me, "I have heard many different regrets expressed by people nearing the end of life, but there's one regret I have never heard expressed. I have never heard anyone say, 'I wish I had not given so much away. I wish I'd kept more for myself.'" Death has a way of really clarifying what matters. For me, I find it helpful to remember that my life and my possessions are not my own. They really do belong to God. We are merely stewards of them for the time that God has given us on this planet. But we rebel against this truth because we want to be in charge of our lives and our possessions, our stuff. And our culture supports that lie that we can be in charge, that we can control our life and our death and our possessions. But as we know, everything is on loan from God, even our bodies. And this truth, well, it's actually good news for us. Because all that we are and all that we have belongs to God, our future is secure beyond all measure. In Scripture, we see Jesus gently reminding his disciples of their ultimate security in God with these words: "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do you recognize this verse? This is from Matthew, and it's one of the verses that comes in the next paragraph, right after the one that I read for you this morning. It supports today's gospel. It's like, I think we should maybe have all of it to get the message. Listen to it. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon, all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is such a good reminder to us to be aware of just who, capital W for who, is in charge here, and to be grateful and faithful to God's plan for humankind. Do not worry about your life, Jesus says in this. I hear him say to me, "Lynn, keep your eyes on the kingdom and all shall be well." I don't know about you, but the words of these verses that I just read to you are so calming to me. when I read them, any fear or anxiety about my busy and complicated life slips away and is replaced by trust in God. It's at times like these, after drinking this clear, clean water of the scripture, that I feel myself deeply resting in God's embrace. At times like this, it's easy, it's simple to choose to be rich with God instead of rich with full barns. I've talked with many of you who confess that it's when you read scripture is that you are most comforted, you are most guided, and you have peace. It is like discovering a treasure hidden in a field. It really is. If you plow the scripture and see what arises for you. So in this second gospel text, we hear what almost amounts to poetry, so beautifully expressed as it is by Jesus. He's sharing a secret with us, that the way to collect treasure of the heart suitable for God's kingdom isn't the earthbound, inward-looking way of the rich but foolish farmer, but the soaring, beautiful way of the one who lives and loves generously, lavishly, and with joy. As I end this message this morning, indulge me by stepping back into the 1960s with me for a moment. Do you remember the Beatles song, Can't Buy Me Love? Yes? The words go like this. I'll buy you a diamond ring, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. Because I don't care too much for money. Money can't buy me love. And in the end, the Beatles were right. Money can't buy us love, or dignity, or acceptance, or self-worth, or hope. Only God gives us all those things and life abundant. So be rich toward God in all that you think and do, for therein lies the true treasure. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? O loving God and divine parent, we need your guidance in determining what is of you and what is of the world. Help us to be less concerned with possessions. Enable us to turn away from advertisements that woo us. And guide us to seek the treasure that is found only in you. Help us to not only remember these truths, but also to live them. May we learn to be rich toward you in this life and the next. In Christ we pray. Amen. We continue with the hymn of the day, We Give Thee But Thine Own, on page 9 of your bulletin.